I'll be reading the scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 41, if you'd like to turn there, and then it'll be 41 verses 8 through 10, and then chapter 43 verses 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus God's word.
One of the things about getting a call on Thursday afternoon to see if you can preach is you kind of get to choose what you want to do, and if you go long, you go long. If you go short, you go short. You can always say, hey, I only had a couple of days to prepare. Really what I want to do for us here this morning is not trying to impress you with something new or something you'll go, man, I never thought of that before. What I really want us to do is to hear from God's Word through the prophet Isaiah just some words of comfort and encouragement to us, and just let it roll over you, because God just lavishes on the promises and lavishes on the truth in these two passages to us. Because what He asks of His people in Isaiah's day who are going to undergo a complete reversal of fortunes. They knew prosperity, they knew peace, they knew all these good things. And that was because they had turned from the Lord, they were going to lose all that. They were going to go into exile. They were going to be overtaken by a foreign country. And they were going to go into hard times. And even for us today, the Lord's word to them was, fear not. You see it there in Isaiah 41, verse 10, and then several times throughout the passage in Isaiah 43. Fear not. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we're a fearful people. We know we're not supposed to be afraid, but there are so many things that consume us with anxiety and worry and doubt and fear. Some of those fears are global fears. We look out at the world and we see wars and rumors of wars. We see a world that seems at times to be just chaotic, where there seems to be just report after report after report of suicide bombers and this rocket attack, or even in our own country, we think of what happened in Tucson not that long ago, where somebody goes and pulls a gun and starts shooting and takes the life of several people, including a 9-year-old child. We have global economic worries. Most of us are fearful about what the future holds, both in the short term and the long terms, in terms of our financial stability. For those who are near to the retirement age, will their retirement be there enough? Will it be enough to sustain them? For those who are students and who may be looking towards graduation, are there going to be any jobs for me when I get out of this wonderful institution that is Texas A&M University? Will I be able to provide for my children, for those of you who are there in the middle somewhere? Will I be able to provide for their needs now? Will I be able to provide for their education in the future in terms of college or further on down the road? We have fears there. And then we have even more personal fears. We have relational fears. Those of you who are single, you may fear, will I ever find that one to be my husband or my wife? For those of you who have children, will my children be okay? Will they be physically safe? Will they turn out all right? Sometimes, let's be honest, we look at our kids and we wonder, things aren't going in quite the right direction that we thought we'd like to see them go. We're fearful. We're fearful about the world they're going to be in. We're fearful that something might happen to them. I've been talking with people over the past couple of weeks, and we've been lamenting the fact that even when I was a little boy, you know, it was nothing for me during the day, during the summer, to get up in the morning, get dressed, eat breakfast, go out and roam the neighborhood from early morning until it got dark out at night, coming in only to get food, to get replenished. And now many of us are afraid to let our kids walk down the street. We're fearful. We're fearful of getting the phone call that says a loved one has been in a terrible accident. We're fearful of getting the phone call that a loved one is sick. We're fearful that we may lose our husband or our wife. We're fearful that something may happen to our children. We're fearful. And we're fearful because we know that that is the reality of living in a fallen world. We don't have to go outside this room to have testimony of the fact that we live in a fallen world. We've got children who've lost parents. We have parents who've lost children. We have members of our church family here, or perhaps connected to our church family, who are suffering with debilitating, potentially life-threatening illnesses. We live in a fallen world, and if we were simply to give in to what we see with our eyes and to give in to the circumstances, we would all be in a corner somewhere, cowering in fear. And God comes to us this morning from His Word and says, my people, fear not. And right there is just, it's the thing I love about our God. He doesn't come and say, pretend that there's no fears. He doesn't come and say, live a life of denial that there's bad things out there happening. He doesn't come and say, just put on a happy face. Our God knows that we're a fearful people. It's why He has to tell us over and over again in the Scriptures, fear not. And you go, well, He doesn't have to say that to the really strong people. Oh, no, no, go look. Sometimes He says it in more positive terms. But some of the great heroes of the faith, the Lord had to come to and say, fear not. He had to come to Joshua and say, fear not, be strong and courageous. That's the positive way of saying fear not. Be courageous. To Gideon. And He says it to all of His people throughout the ages. Fear not. And what I simply want to do this morning is Our God is so gracious to us. He doesn't just say, fear not. He then gives us reasons why we shouldn't fear. And I'm just going to walk us through those in these two passages from Isaiah. So you might be encouraged. Everybody here represents different circumstances, different situations, different settings, different problems, different reasons, different causes for your fears. But God would speak to all of us this morning and say, fear not. So let's look there in Isaiah 41 if you have your Bibles. What does he say? Well, he's got five things here in this, just verse 10. God can pack in a lot of weight into just one verse. There in verse 10 of chapter 41. Fear not, number one, for I am with you. You know, I think that's one of our great fears about fear. One thing that paralyzes us is the thought that we're going to have to go through it alone. Is that we walk through these difficult circumstances, these difficult trials, these difficult times in our lives, and that we're going to be alone. That we'll be by ourselves. We're like little kids. Okay? I mean, most of you who are parents, probably if you haven't had this experience, you will. You take your child, you know, particularly as they're maybe in that 2 to 3 year range, and you put them into bed. At night, you tuck them in, everything's fine. You turn out the light, maybe you leave them a nightlight, maybe not. You walk out, and you think, okay, everything's fine. Oh, not for long. Now, sometimes they're just trying not to have to go to sleep, and they want to, I want something to eat, I want something to drink, I got to use the bathroom. But sometimes your child experiences fear. Monsters under the bed. You know, anything you read in the Calvin and Hobbes cartoon strips, for those of you who know Calvin and Hobbes, he had all kinds of things he was afraid of that were under the bed. But they're afraid. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that they're afraid is because they feel alone. And of course, we parents, we think we're so smart and intelligent and educated. We go in and we try, you know, mom and dad, you know, we're just right out there in the living room. We're just right out there. That's too far away for the child. What do they want in their fear? They want someone to be with them. And what does the Lord God say to His people? He says, fear not. For when everybody else may have abandoned you, when everybody else may be far away, when everybody else may have turn their back on you, I will be with you. He emphasizes that again in Isaiah 43, there in verse 2. When you pass through the waters, again, no denying the reality that there's waters that have to be passed through. But he says, when you pass through the waters, you won't go through those waters alone. I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. Again in verse 5 there in 43, fear not, for I am with you. Jesus, when He is giving His great commission and He's ready to leave, to ascend into heaven, He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Dear saint, I don't know what particular trial or circumstance you may be in this morning that has you bound and paralyzed by worry and anxiety and fear, but I can declare to you with conviction and boldness that whatever your situation, the Lord God is with you in that situation. and He will never leave you. He's not going to walk through the waters partway and then go, oh, but I got another call. I got another engagement. I'm going to have to leave you here in the middle. He says when you pass through the waters, He's with you when you start in that trial. He's with you in the middle of that trial, and He will see you through to the end of that trial, including the trial that just is this life and living in a fallen world. Jesus is with you now. He will be with you in the future, and He will take you on into eternity. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Second, as back to Isaiah 41, be not dismayed, for I am your God. That's covenant language. That is God saying, I am in relationship with you. I am your God. You are not just out there, but I am in relationship with you. I have made promises to you. I have made commitments to you. And I will be faithful to those promises. And I will be faithful to those commitments. And I am your God. I'm not your pal. You know, I love Pastor Ben. And there's lots of things that Pastor Ben, if I was in trouble, he would try to do things to help me, I think. I hope. But guess what? Pastor Ben is finite. And Pastor Ben is fallible. And Pastor Ben is weak. And Pastor Ben has a limit to his resources. So while I know he would try to be there for me, there's only a certain amount that he can do. He's not God. And all that I just said about Pastor Ben, I could say about any of you, I could say about myself. God does use people as a way in which He provides and He cares for His people. But what He is saying here is, I'm God. And more importantly, I'm not only just God, I'm your God. There are no other gods. Basically, what He's saying here is, you're on the winning team. There's nothing that can stand against me. Paul would put it this way in Romans. If God is for us, who could be against us? You don't have to worry that somehow, in the midst of your fears and your trials and your difficulties and your anxieties, that somehow God's going to be carrying you and somebody stronger and greater is going to be able to come and knock God off His feet. It won't happen. I am the Lord your God. I am your God. Third, I will strengthen you. How many of you feel weak this morning? How many of you feel helpless in the midst of the situations you find yourself? How many of you don't think you can take another step? Our God says, fear not. I will strengthen you. I'll give you what you need to make it through the next minute, the next hour, the next day. You know, that's really been my prayer for Pastor Wade over these past couple days. Lord, just give him the strength for what he needs for the next hour. Just give him what he needs for the next hour. And then when that hour's up, give him what he needs for the next hour. He's going to strengthen you. He says, I will help you. The psalmist puts it this way, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Now that word help to us has a connotation of weakness. Maybe in a derogatory term. It's the same word that you would find in Genesis 2 when God creates Eve and says that she is to be a help for Adam. Lots of people don't like that language. But God Himself takes that language upon Himself. He says, I'll be your helper. I'll be the one who comes alongside you. I'll be the one who makes up your lack. I'll be the one who gives you what you need. Do you not understand that the wonder of that? That the God of the universe would condescend to be your helper? To come and to meet you in your need? And he's promising that to his people. And he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, that sense of, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to endure. I'm not going to persevere. I'm not going to be able to stand. I'm not going to be able to withstand all that's coming against me. I'm not going to be able to. I'm just going to fall. You ever feel that way? Do you ever just feel that this is it? I'm at the breaking point. I'm not going to make it. And God says, oh, dear child, there's a hand underneath of you. And it's my hand. Oh, you may not stand. Oh, but I will uphold you. You in your own strength, you may fail in your own strength, but there's something greater at work. It's my mighty right hand. Even though this is my left hand. My mighty right hand. And it is upholding you. It's why Jesus, when he wanted to talk about these things in his Sermon on the Mount, and he talked about, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, the wise man is the one who hears my word and obeys them. And part of those words would be, do not fear. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a fairly lengthy section there about not worrying, not being fearful, not being anxious. There in chapter 6 of Matthew. He says, that man, he's like a man who built his house on a what? Built on a rock. You know? And the rains came down. And the floods came up. Rains came down. What's the rains and the flood? The rains and the flood, that's the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties of life. Again, no denial that those things happen. But what happens to that house that's built on the rock? It stands firm. Why? Because it's such a great house? No, because it has a great foundation. And we have a great foundation. And that great foundation is our God. I mean, that's really, when God says, fear not, what he's basically doing is he's pointing his people to himself. I mean, that's what happens to us in fear, is it not? When we get in the middle of a situation and we're fearful, what happens? We're just like Peter when he was walking on the water. Anybody remembers Peter walking on the water? In the boat, Jesus comes walking on the water. Lord, tell me to walk on the water or I'll walk out to you. Come on, Peter. Peter gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water. He's doing great. Then what happens? Where does his eyes get focused? He starts looking around going, seas are pretty rough today. These are some pretty significant waves. This is a pretty significant storm. And then what happens to Peter? Down he goes. And I always find it funny, that, like in the children's material and stuff like that, you know, Peter's usually about waist deep before he cries out to the Lord. I'm not really sure why they think it's waist deep. Part of me thinks that Peter's just so proud that he was probably maybe right up to his here before he actually cried out to the Lord. Maybe I'm not giving Peter enough credit. Maybe when he was only up to his ankles and then he started crying to the Lord. But what happened? The circumstances, the situation, he got his eyes on that and he took his eyes off what was the most important. That was Jesus. And then when he cried out, Lord, save me, Jesus comes to him and rescues him. That's what God wants us to understand this morning. That in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of the things that induce fear in us, we are called, what we need to be looking is not to ourselves, not to our circumstances. We need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let me just give you one other reason why we should not fear. It's over there in chapter 43, verse 1. You know, it's interesting. Some of these statements, I think about in when Isaiah uttered these statements, if there could have been other peoples around, other nations who could have said, well, our God says that kind of stuff too. You know, he says he'll protect us, and he says, I'll be your God, and I'll do these things. You know, so what's so significant about your God? Isaiah 43:1, I think, really clinches it when he says this, fear not, for I have redeemed you. This is not just a God who is offering physical protection. This is a God who has redeemed his people. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, do you hear God saying that? It's easy to say, well, that's God talking to Isaiah's time, the people at that time. That's what he's saying to you this morning. If you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, that's what he's saying to you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Jesus would put it this way. He'd say, you're in the Father's hands, and there's no one who can snatch you out of it. No one. You are mine. Do you hear God saying this about you? Verse 4 of 43. Because you are precious in my eyes. You're beautiful in my eyes. You are valued in my eyes. And honored. And the God of the universe says this to you. He says this to each one of his people. He says, you're precious in my sight and honored. And I love you. I love you. How do I know God loves me? How do I know God loves me? God demonstrated his own love in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? And that includes all that we need to not fear in whatever situation comes our way. Children of God, children of the living God, fear not. Fear not. Your God is with you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. He has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are his. And he loves you. Walk into a fallen world meditating on those things. Let's pray. Father, we need reminders like this. It's very easy to get our minds and our eyes set on the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. Help us by faith and by the power of your Spirit at work in us to walk not in a spirit of fear, but in a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Not because we have it in ourselves to handle what this world throws at us, but because we have a God who is on our side and who has said, fear not. Let us walk in that knowledge. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.